This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel, and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Steve, you got awfully attractive all of a sudden.
I shaved.
Really nice.
Shaved the beard. That's the way to go. Fool all of us.
That was the
straighten my hair.
Yeah. Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to the show. I'm seeing the chat light up with Go Steve. Yes, Steve is actually. He's filming for the place with Dr. Jones, and he will be back at 10 when we do the show that follows this. So Shannon is coming in and taking Steve's place. So big shoes to fill. Make sure you use really big words that may or may not have anything to do with what we're talking about, and be over pedantic. Can you handle that?
Oh, I'm all over it. I am all over it. I'm just going to write agnostic over and over and over again in the chat. That's my plan.
We'll just use
no one will even know he's gone.
What's that, King?
Use big words so you can sound more photosynthesis, and nobody will know what you're talking about.
That's a good joke.
That's probably the one science word I do know, the only one.
Kyle, science, you're adorable.
I hinted at it a second ago, following this show at 10 o'clock, we will be joined by Modern Day Debate. That's James from Modern Day Debate. Mike Winger, Ocean Keltoy, and Cyrus the Skeptic. I believe they're going to be talking about paganism. A little bit, and what's going to be different about this show is that we're actually going to stop halfway through, about 45 minutes roughly, and then pick up the show over on Modern Day Debate. We're doing a cool, you know, cross stream thing with them, so you can catch the first half with us and then jump straight over to Modern Day Debate and see how it ends.
Can I just Shannon. Say I can't endorse Modern Day Debate enough? I think everybody should subscribe to that channel. Nice. It's a wonderful channel. He's great. Oh, hi. Sorry.
He really is the nicest. Every time he comes on, he has something, just the most positive things to say. Sorry, I'm trying to set my illustrator thing. Okay, so let's introduce these two gentlemen that we have with us tonight. If you're just joining us for the first time, first of all, welcome. Make sure you subscribe. And what do they say now, Shannon? Smash that like button. I believe it's they're going with smash, smash right? It. That's the lingo.
Smash it and click on that smash bell. It.
Click the bell.
Click on the bell to make sure you get your notifications. Smash that like button. Like, comment, subscribe below.
King is hired.
Why
King's
do
in.
I even need to be here?
I'm going
to
leave.
Why do I
How
leave?
How you doing, everybody?
He's new, Steve. I don't
know
if I need to be here.
Boy, Jay-Z. Yeah.
King Gigasel has come ready to... to party, I think. Well, you know, why, since we're on you, why don't you go ahead and take a second and introduce yourself and tell everybody why you reached out following the stream that we did with Catfish Man.
So, King Gigasel, I'm also on the Incels.is forum, and I've been on there and. I'm not like a very popular user or anything, but I noticed this stream with Catfish Man and Sergeant Incel, and I decided that I may reach out because I could probably provide some extra clarification. I noticed that Catfish Man wasn't exactly the best at expressing his thoughts, I suppose, so I thought maybe I can just provide a little bit of explanation from a different viewpoint, and that's basically why I reached out, and it's good to know that I have one extra guy as backup. Brendio, who is muted for some reason right now, I think.
Brendio, before we have you introduce yourself, King Gigasel, has anyone ever told you that by listening to you talk, you sound just like the dad from you ever seen that Wild Thornberries? I think his name was Nigel.
Oh, smashing, yes.
Yes.
So absolutely like, okay. Smashing, Wendy.
Okay. All right, Brendio. Take a second to introduce yourself.
Sure. My name is Derek. Most people know me as Brendio or Brendio EE. I run a YouTube channel by the same name. I consider myself a geographical incel, which is someone who is an incel because of their own localized sexual market, creating a set of circumstances that make it impossible to find a relationship. Or even just simply have sex without paying for it, which I never have done, by the way. I live in L.A., which, according to my research, is the worst city in America to live as a young white male looking for a partner. And believe I'm a geographical incel as opposed to an incel who can't get a partner because of their looks or personality or mental condition, because I've traveled with friends to Middle America and other parts of the world, and women are much more friendlier and communicative in those parts of the world than where I'm from. So, yeah.
You would think that LA would have the biggest, I guess, this could be completely wrong, but you know, the biggest variety with women, with just the influx of people who either careers or you know, trying to act, seems like that would be the best place to find one, wouldn't it?
Well, in my experience, or according to my data, the more sexually promiscuous or the more leftist or hypergamous an area is, the more likely, the harder it's going to be to find a partner, in my experience. So, yeah.
That's true.
And Shannon. Go ahead.
Oh, I just thought I might add to that point. That's a very good leftism and hypergamy, with the whole leftist ideology, right, if it becomes like a more pervasive social and political culture, then women start to develop these kinds of feelings associated with leftism of like entitlement, of empowerment, and I don't owe you anything, you know, and I was on a pedestal. And that's like one of the hallmarks of the whole feminism movement and the whole empowerment of women, is that they just have this changing and evolving psychology, right, towards men, that men are these damaging psychopaths, you know, who at any point in time may engage in crime or rape or whatever, And that extends into the Me Too movement, all this kind of thing. So it's a changing, which is giving women completely different attitudes to men, which makes it a lot more difficult to cooperate with them. So that's just a valuable point I might add.
Okay. And Shannon, I'm going to let you introduce yourself, and then you can pick up right on the end of that. And we'll kind of dive in from there.
So I'm Shannon Q. I have a channel called Shannon Q, where I have complex conversations and also do videos on the intersection between psychology and faith. So nice to meet anybody who hasn't met me before, and also nice to meet both of you as well. Should I address you as Brendio and King just before we start, just so that I can make sure that I'm addressing you
correctly?
Well,
thank you. you can bow if you want as well. I am a king after all.
I may not.
I'm just kidding.
But I will respect your choice to be addressed as king.
Well, thank you.
And
this is my pronoun.
You're quite welcome.
Your highness.
That's your pronoun. That's right. I'm all about respecting preferred pronouns. So there was a lot of interesting things in there that I wanted to address. And I appreciate both of you being here to have a dialogue with me. And I feel like you, the three of us, will have a really productive dialogue. So I'm encouraged by that. Before we get started, I never really got a clear definition on this. So if either one of you would be willing to indulge me, would you mind just giving me the definition of hypergamy?
The basic definition of hypergamy, like the low rundown, is that it's women dating up, basically. Or women who are dating up. So let me give you an example. It would be like... let's say I am a average looking guy and I meet an average looking girl in a hypergamous society. The average looking girl, who might be my looks match, she wouldn't date me in like that sort of society versus in a maybe more traditional society or more, you know, a different society where she would date someone or she would marry someone who is of her looks to match or of the same status, you know, the same class. There's various different things that play into hypergamy that aren't just looks. So basically hypergamy is just dating up is the basic thing. And it's more common.
So, so a woman, you believe, based on this, would be, or women in general, are seeking out partners who are more attractive than they are and of a higher socioeconomic or social standing than they are? Is that a fair summation?
Like more
as a general
like better looks, or better status or, better resources, things of that nature. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you, please go ahead, King.
If I may interject, it's all basically about options, right? That as our technology is evolving, moving forward into the next couple of decades, and in the past two decades, we've had massive evolution and globalization of transport technology and digital technology, which basically gives women options, right? While previously, if you were like located in a country town or village or something, you had to find yourself a man within that village, because unless you want to drive for like 5 weeks by, horse and cart to the next town or something that's like miles away, you're only going to be limited by the men that are in your village, right? While with globalization and evolving technology, you have so many more options. And so due to the nature of men being like very free with their choice of women, they don't really have that much of a specific choice in women. They are able to, men can basically pick whatever woman they want, But they're not as picky as women, right? Because women have all these new options, and that's where hypergamy comes into it. The fact that they can just choose men of high looks, higher status, higher money, Brendio was saying, just a higher position in society in general. And women have these options now and can choose.
Okay. So I have sort of a proposal or slash question, I guess. So it seems as though you're saying, if I'm understanding accurately, that because we now have access to digital media, things like online dating sites and social media, where we're able to expand our network of socialization and thus potentially, or by extension, our options and partners, because we can meet people who are outside of our immediate geographic area. Women are now able to be more discerning because they can cast their net wider. And that is an issue because men in general are less discerning and are willing to date women that aren't necessarily, as you said, their looks match.
Well, I mean, it's more so an issue of the fact that if all the women in your society suddenly have a wider area to cast the net over, you know, they're going to be going for a smaller and smaller subset of elite men, right? Mm-hmm. Extremely selective of who they want to be with. And this evolves into a much larger problem of the growing count of male incels in modern society, right? And males with unfulfilled desires, unfulfilled relationships that they're unable to acquire from women. You, right. That goes into the whole problem of, like, I'm sure you guys may be familiar with Japan. The fact, I think in 2017, there was 900,000 babies born in Japan, declining birth rates because the women simply do not want to be with the men. There is the whole pursuit of a career, right? And so men are just deciding that I have no chance of success with women, so I'm going to withdraw from society. I'm going to become an unproductive member of society. Why should I contribute taxes to a society which offers me really nothing in return and no hope of anything in return? So that's why you're getting this whole thing, which I'm sure you're aware of men just checking out of society, going into video games, pornography, because they are not getting the kind of basic interactions and at least hope of success with women as they would have been able to do in the past, right? And one of the basic meanings of life is to find meaning and happiness and fulfillment with another human being. For most people, that's finding someone of the opposite sex. And that is just becoming more and more difficult for men as women become more and more selective, you know? And that's just a byproduct of the technology that is evolving for us. And we have to find a solution to that, because otherwise we're just going to have a massively underproductive male workforce in society, I think.
Okay. I'm doing a little bit of mental math in my head, and please correct me if I'm wrong or I'm mishearing. So essentially, you're saying that women are able to cast a wider net, and because they're able to cast a wider net, they're going to be more discerning, so they're going to opt for more elite men. Presumably, that means at some point in time, those elite men would be, you know, chosen in this scenario by a woman, and they can't each be chosen by multiple women. So what happens in that scenario? If it's a one-for-one ratio, one man for one woman in this ratio, then just
that's
based
a good
on
question. That's a
the
good
math
question.
Model alone, exactly. What happens to the rest of those women once that 20% is all grabbed up? Those women must... That's to make a different choice, so I don't understand the math.
Yeah. King Gigastil, can I address this?
Sure, go for it.
Right. The thing is, they aren't entering monogamous relationship with these elite status men. They aren't entering relationships with these good-looking men, with these rich men, with these high-status men that are, you know, they're getting married, and they're sticking together with each other, and they're just, you know, going off to the sunset, living happily ever after. What happens is these high status men, these whether they're good looking or they are high status or whatever, they are having sex, typically, you know, promiscuous sex with various of the, I suppose you'd call them like lower chaste women. You know, I'm not trying to insult them, you know, the average, the most of the women. And these women develop a mindset that because these men are choosing these women of lower chaste, that they are deserving of the men who have chosen them. And in return, that means they will not choose men of a lower chaste or a lower caste because they these men of higher caste and chaste and status have shown affection and love or sexual attention to these women, albeit temporarily, which causes a problem in the sexual market, which leads to promiscuity and a rise in inceldom and a lot of men, especially in cities and hypergamous areas, you know, more high population urban areas. This is where it's mostly happening, not really in the countryside or things like that. But yeah.
So, So in this scenario, okay. So in this scenario, there's, we'll use the 80-20, I guess. So there's the 20% that would be the, you know, the elite group of men. Women are, an inordinate amount of women are showing a selection bias for those men. Those men are having multiple sexual partners. So those men are having sex with multiple women. Because of that, those women feel as though they're entitled to that type of man because they have been chosen before. They think that they can get that again, and that that's the stature of partner that they are deserving of. And thus, they will no longer select somebody who is of what you would perceive as a lower order or a more subjugated or lower level of attractiveness or socioeconomic standing or social standing.
Right. Yeah.
But if they're having just, so it's, so what happens ultimately though? So I feel like the mental math still kind of falls apart, because once those men have sex with literally sex once, maybe twice with literally all the women, it still reaches a point of diminishing returns, does it not? Where those women have, let's say, had sex with four, five, six of those. So you think that they would choose to be alone rather than choose to try to find a fulfilling or meaningful relationship with somebody?
Yes.
Who is?
Yes, this is
really
exactly what's happening. Yes. It's that these women,
they would rather opt to be alone.
Once they've had any kind of interaction, you know, with like a perceived chat, better looking guy, richer guy, whatever, they feel that they shouldn't waste their time with lower class guys anymore, because if they got a better quality guy once, then surely they can do it again, right? And with the whole devaluation of marriage, you know, and promiscuity being elevated as such a desirable thing, you know, and not slut shaming, you know, the whole slut walk thing, it's like, what's your body count? Oh, 300, whatever. Good for you. You are an empowered young white woman or colored woman or whatever. Marriage is no longer a thing, right? So, I mean, it's no longer as valued as it was in the past. And so these women are perfectly fine waiting until they can have, you know, chance sexual encounters with these higher quality men, as opposed to settling down for marriage with a lower quality man. Again, I mean, I would like to just make the point, this is the statistical majority, right? Obviously, you're still going to get a 5 out of 10 woman and a 5 out of 10 man who will marry and will have kids, right? But this is the exception, not the rule, because most women, as Brendio was saying, and as I am reiterating, most women would rather sit and wait and be alone for the possibility of some more interactions with high quality men, as opposed to settling down with a lower quality man. It is just not as desirable as it was in the past.
And this is why you see a lot of older women who are in their 30s and 40s who are depressed, and, you know, they're looking for a relationship, for a partner, and they're usually single. Mostly older women are single, not younger women. And they are becoming depressed and committing suicide at a higher rate than younger women are. This is very sad, and it happens because of this very thing. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm hearing a lot of inferences here that are fascinating to me. It seems as though, okay, I have so many questions in my head. I'm finding it hard to formulate one, so please forgive me. So
go for it. Take
when
it
you
time.
Said, yeah, when you said initially that once a woman has had a higher quality male. And you seem to be quantifying that by looks and socioeconomic status primarily, that they would opt to be alone rather than even pursue a relationship that isn't with a higher quality male. What, aside from you know, anecdotal, personal, or sort of poll experience, do you look at when you make that determination or assessment on how women choose mates?
Brendio, do you want to answer this?
Well, that's the thing. When we're looking at this, we are looking at, you know, the data of how, you know, men are selecting women and how women are selecting men. And what we find is that, you know, women are attracted to very specific things, you know, certain.
Where do you find?
Your question was that.
What are you using to make these determinations?
Where are we getting?
So that they're not simply assertions.
Oh, okay. Well, right. I mean, we are deriving it from the data, right? From OkCupid, from all the dating studies. We are simply deriving the fact that clearly the statistics are indicating women are preferencing men at higher rates, right? They're only the elite men. And so it's not like a personal assertion. Like if you take the data from tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of respondents on dating websites, then it clearly shows you that women only swipe on the elite men, right? And this is also just a basic psychology thing, right? If you take a moment for like a thought experiment and think to yourself, okay, cool, if I buy 100 scratch cards, let's say I win 10, I'm going to think that I have a little bit more luck, right? And I'm going to think if I maybe buy some more scratch cards, I'll be more lucky than somebody else. It's win again. And once you... I know. You know, people are more willing to believe in themselves that they can succeed again if they have regular success in whatever they're doing, right? It's a pretty self-explanatory, intuitive thing that if a woman has success with a high-quality man, she's more willing to believe in herself that she can do it again. So she will become less willing to take a chance with a low-quality man because she thinks, maybe if I wait a little bit longer, I'll find a higher-quality man, you know? And that's just the intuitive thing that makes sense, you know, and it applies to every part of life that you are more willing to believe in yourself. Yep.
Before we get too much into this, though, I think we should address the whole catfish man thing, because that is that was the big thing.
I'd like to get back to this, though.
Yeah. I'd like to, you know, talk about him just really quick. Sure. So within the interview or the conversation you had with Catfish Man, Catfish Man states within the first 5 minutes of the conversation with you guys that he is not an incel. That in and of itself should let you know that he doesn't represent us. Sorry for throwing him under the bus, but that's just a fact. He says he is not an incel. He said Sarge had a hard time speaking and was stuttering, but I think Sarge was very well spoken considering the fact he isn't fluent in English. And Catfish Man wasn't very good at communicating himself. And I don't mean to diss him or diss people with autism or Asperger's, but I think he does have, I know a lot of people in the community who have conditions that are similar to that. And he does seem to exhibit some signs of he might be on the spectrum. He wasn't well prepared.
His issue was not anything to do with if he does have autism. His issue stemmed from a much darker place than that, I think. So whether he does or he doesn't, I don't think would have really made much of a difference to what happened that night.
Right. That's you're right. Here now to have a conversation. Yeah, you're separate autonomous.
7 years ago.
Yeah. So I appreciate you bringing that up, and I understand. Believe me, I understand you wanting to differentiate yourself from that conversation, and we're already having a productive dialogue, and I appreciate that. And it seems to be a very respectful conversation. So these are the types of things I like, and I appreciate you indulging my curiosity, and it's legitimate curiosity. And I want to be able to have a productive conversation. I wasn't able to. Catfish Man. So this is encouraging. So to get back to it, if that is okay, and I appreciate you wanting to take the time, it seems as though there may be some degree of sampling bias. In the conversations that I've been in thus far, it seems that dating websites are leaned on heavily when it comes to the statistics. And it may very well be the case, and likely is the case from a psychological perspective, that people would skew towards, or women in general, would skew towards a selection bias for more attractive men when the only thing you really have to go on in that circumstance is that person's aesthetic. You can't really derive a personality from a write-up. And most people, when they have the opportunity for instant gratification, wouldn't even really necessarily take the time to read the write-up. They would just kind of have a selection bias for people that they find most immediately aesthetically attractive and then kind of weed it out from there. So if you're looking at that data, yeah, I would say that data makes sense. I do. I would agree with you on that data 100%. But what I'm having difficulty getting to is the inferences that are derived from it. The inferences that, based on the fact that women will opt for more classically, aesthetically pleasing selections on a dating website when they have almost unlimited options, that means that they are only interested in that type of man and the rest that seems to follow.
So
that makes sense? Did I articulate that okay?
Sure. But I'm not quite sure, where's your issue? Do you mind just repeating one more time? Like, what's the issue that you're having with the inferences? Do you mean, that women
the
want
inferences
to choose
about
high-quality?
How I think everybody wants to choose a compatible partner. And I don't think it's I think it's well within the realm of reason to think that both women and men would want somebody that they find attractive and would want somebody that they can build a life with and is responsible and, to a certain degree successful. I think that that's something that is just a natural thing for anybody to want for themselves. I believe that's something that any man would want as well.
Yes.
Unless I'm mistaken, unless men want different things.
Yes, you are mistaken, because there's a very, very big difference between men and women. And that is that, men do seek out these things. Men have the appearance of a woman. Obviously, the appearance is important to both men and women, right? But personality is much more highly valued in men, at least initially, as well as long-term, as it is for women. Let me elaborate on this, right? Obviously, personality matters to everyone. However, if you spend some time collecting anecdotal evidence, and you can just keep on collecting, yes, it is just anecdotal evidence. However, if you want to compile 300,000 pieces of this anecdotal evidence, you will find 300,000 cases, if you look long enough, of men who are very, very good looking, but unsuccessful, little to no job prospects or with criminal tendencies or whatever. And yet these men are still able to attract women. You get, for example, a very good looking musician who is struggling to find musical gigs or whatever. And is living on welfare. Women will still drool over the guy if he's extremely attractive. Like I said, if you look long enough, you will find 300,000 cases of this, right? Because
but
to women,
could you not find 300,000 cases of high class or rich or relative, maybe not necessarily particularly attractive men who are.
You could also find rich men.
It's the argument that it skews particularly for women that seems to cast women in a just a really unfavorable light overall.
And it's not so
I'm
much
not sure that that's fair.
Oh, okay. Well, the intention is not to cast women in a negative light. It's simply to highlight the difference between women's selection criteria and men, right? Women basically want to have the freedom to make bigger choices for bigger quality males, right? And they are less willing to tolerate bad looks than men are, because men will prioritize personality much higher and closer towards face, right? And facial appearance and good looks. While for women, it is primarily about good looks, because women have this psychological thing with men that they want to feel this immediate sexual gratification, validation, and sexual excitement, right? Personality is important. However, personality is always going to be second to that sexual feeling of excitement women get when they see a man. When they see an attractive man, they feel attracted to him, they feel excited, and they want to be around that man. And only once they feel that excitement are they willing to start breaking down his personality, right? If you ask any woman on the street, she's going to say confidence and personality. Sorry, what?
Right. It seems okay. I have a couple of things to say, if that's okay. So one of the first things I have to say is that these all seem a great deal like inferential assertions based on really valid personal experience and commiseration with others and analytics of data that has a sampling bias. And I understand that. But if you want to refer to anecdotal experience, I mean, you could sample 300,000 women as well. And you can see that with the women will find, and I am a woman, I have slight expertise on some of the things that women might think. A woman may find a man immediately physically attractive and then be very turned off by their personality. Personality plays a great role in sexual selection in women. And also it's to the second point that I'd like to get out, if that's okay, is that it almost seems as though you're saying that there's no sexual selection advantage for a woman to be perceived as attractive, as though attractive women wouldn't have any sort of sexual selection advantage because men are just not discerning at all in that way. They don't have the aptitude for it, and instead they select by personality alone, in which case I believe that there's a series of industries that are just really off the mark.
No, you're absolutely right. Both men and women, yes, they have selection criteria for looks.
We spend a lot of time trying to perfect aesthetics. Why have we done it?
Sorry, the audio seems to be cutting out here and there. Anyway, the point that I simply tried to summarize was that men are just willing to tolerate a lot more than women. And you do make a valid point that it is difficult to find an objective analysis of this, right, or objective data, because it is basically just a collection of anecdotal pieces of data, right? So I can't sit here and tell you, yes, I have a conclusive summary of like 1 million men, 1 million women, where I would be able to prove my point here. You are right. It is a gray, cloudy area, which is difficult to prove. However, if you just take a look at the statistical averages over time, that is where we are making our assertions, by looking at the statistics. It's difficult to prove because it's a gray area, but if you look at the majority statistics for all of our points, then that is where we are making our assertions from. Make sense?
Are the statistics? It does make sense. But to be clear, when you look at all of the statistical data, is that specifically looking at the statistical data that's compiled in dating and social media sites?
I mean, it's not only dating and social media sites. This is like...
Where are the remainder of the statistics being derived from that are being referenced?
It's not purely from a statistical standpoint. This is like looking at social culture and social engineering on a global level, right? Just to see article after article and social forums like the incels that IS forum, which are reporting higher memberships than ever, of course, and you know the rising number of incels around the world, the rising number of celibate men who are not able to find relationships with women, right? This makes you wonder, why is this happening? Why is there like a massively exponentially increasing quantity of incels around the world? And we are not able to, like I said before, prove this gray area so conclusively, you know, and irrefutably. However, you can look at it from another perspective if you're trying to challenge our points, and that is there is an increasing number of incels, and this number is massively increasing around the world. Why is this happening? Clearly, you know, the men may or may not be doing anything different. However, at the end of the day, the number is going up of incels. So you have to ask yourself the question, why is this happening? Clearly, women... Something must be going on with women, right? So what is going on with women? Clearly, they have higher selection criteria and feel like they want to go for higher quality males. Or you can make some other conclusions of your own, right? But the question needs to be asked, why is there an increase as the years roll by? And that's when...
I suppose, two hypotheses for that, and you can... I guess, check me against the data. The first hypothesis that I would put forward would be that it could be potentially that these numbers may be to a certain degree static, but now because of internet connectivity, people are more apt and able to find each other and commiserate. And so the numbers may artificially seem inflated because now people who may have been geographically isolated from one another who have lived the same sort of experience are able to find these forums and interconnect. The second hypothesis I have kind of goes towards the selection bias in the data is that now you brought it up earlier, and to a certain degree, I agree with you, is that now people, women have and men have more ability to connect with people who they find compatible via social media and maybe aren't, but they aren't compelled, as you mentioned, to stick within their geographical regions. And if they're inherently more social, they may, and now they have the freedom to, they may kind of be able to pick up and move elsewhere or be more selective in the process. But men have the same opportunities.
I can address the first hypothesis anyway.
Okay.
Now, the thing about this is, if we look at from an evolutionary standpoint in the past, you know, primitive sexual selection, what we would find is that, you know, you mentioned the 80-20 thing, right? In the past, you know, there was this supposed 80-20 rule where 80% of men would breed with the top 20% of men in a tribe or in a society in a much more primitive fashion, like the upper class men of that society. And the lower 80% of the men would not breed with most of the women. And as society evolved and as cultures evolved and stabilized and became more monogamous, more and more men were able to breed. And what we're able to find is that peaks at a certain point, that peaks in like the 1800s. And the early 1900s in Western civilized societies, where an equal amount of men and women are both breeding at the same rate than they ever have before in the past. It's no longer an 80-20 rule, it's an 80-80 rule. But after the early 1900s, as we became more urbanized and, you know, more patriarchal, less patriarchal, I suppose, and more Marxist and more free and more, more politically open. Commercialized is a good one as well. As we became more leftist and open and you know, the family didn't matter anymore, and we had all these things that prevented people from having a family and encouraged people from getting together, this reverted. We went through a dysgenic process of reverting the thousands of years of cultural evolution, which allowed for a lot of men to breed that can no longer breed anymore in at least the more urban areas on average. Now, this is why when we're talking about a lot of these problems, if you look at the people who are incel on average, if you ask them where are they from, almost always they will say they are from a high population urban area. There are exceptions to the rule, but exceptions prove the rule. And that's what we see is we see these cities.
Yeah. Okay, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, no, I respect and understand that because you're saying that people, women in those cities, are being more discerning to a certain degree and incorporating looks as a manner of mate selection, and because they have a large pool to draw from, that gives you a disadvantage when from a sexual selection standpoint. So I understand that.
May I interject here?
Yeah, and absolutely. And then I have a question to ask that's kind of on this topic, but is something else I wanted to get to. But yes, please.
I'd like to just quickly interject. I do not blame women for having higher quality standards because, as we all, of course, know, the whole courting and pregnancy process is very biologically taxing for women. So obviously, they have to choose the highest possible quality and to make sure that their offspring have the highest quality chance of survival, right? Mm-hmm. If women have a greater selection pool of men, why wouldn't they go for the higher quality men to make sure, you know, if they have a chance to get with a high quality man, there's no reason why they shouldn't at least try, you know? And in the past, as Brendio was saying, there was around like an 80-80 rule because most men would eventually end up being able to breed with most women. Now, with transport and digital technology evolving to like a globalized level, women have more choice than ever. So why wouldn't they go for only the higher quality males who will ensure that biologically speaking, being the greatest chance of survival. I do not blame women for this. This is a consequence of our technological evolution. And so incels are basically increasing as a result of technological evolution. Women cannot be blamed for the fact that they want to choose a higher quality man.
Well, I can interject here really quick. They are selecting for a specific type of higher quality man. That is, it's very primitive selection bias that is more similar to our, you know, ancient selection bias in terms of selecting a partner. But, you know, higher quality men, you know, they might not be selecting a man who might be, you know, very intelligent, but he's not necessarily a 6'4 GigaChad warrior chase of man. And that's more common in more of a primitive selection bias when we needed to breed more men of a warrior class who needed to go out and fight. But we don't need that anymore. And that's why we evolved over thousands of years to develop culture that made things monogamous and made that allowed for men of various different types, whether it not just be warriors, whether it be philosophers, scientists, workers. They were able to breed in more civilized and productive societies than they are now in a we're culturally more anarchic, I suppose.
Interesting. Okay. So for the sake of moving on, because I have another question, and I know we don't have a great deal of time left, because Kyle's got Kyle's back-to-back show today, bless Kyle's heart.
you've got about 15 minutes left. You got about 15 minutes left.
15, okay. All right, that's what I thought. 50. So here... 50. Oh, yay, 5-0. That's even better. I have so many more questions. I thought it was only 15. Awesome. Okay, so yeah, this is great, and I appreciate the conversation. If you let's just say that we'll grant all of the premises for the sake of advancing the conversation, what would you suggest the solution to this, the anguish it causes you, would be? You know, if you had a magic wand and you could make a change to society in order to rectify what you see as the issue, what would that look like, and how does the participation in these incel forums work towards that?
I could answer that. Traditionalism seemed to work very well to prevent inceldom in the past, at least in the recent late 1800s and early 1900s. More men and women were getting married and staying married and producing children at a rate that was never seen, at least not seen now, at least in the civilized Western world. And once the foundations of traditionalism vanished, we reverted back to a primitive sexual selection, which only benefits a small handful of men who are the best looking or the richest. So basically, if we could revert back to that time, or revert back to a culture of that time, which I believe isn't reverting back culturally. I believe that we're just going back to how we were naturally evolving. Culturally speaking, I believe that traditionalism is the natural progressive evolution of humanity in order to be the most productive. And that's how I believe you prevent inceldom and how you would, prevent a lot of bad things in general.
What does traditionalism look like? Like, what sort of constraints would there be or regulation around relationships would that require in order to be implemented to the degree that is required
This is where things get kind of controversial, right? I mean, men and women are vastly different mentally, physically, and of course, biologically. I'm not the type of incel who believes women should be enslaved by any means. You know, I love women. However, this doesn't mean that they do not have too much freedom. And as a result, this has caused problems for society. I do not blame women for this, and I do not believe women on average have the mental the way I'm going to phrase this is going to be
kind of
weird.
You might want to start rephrasing.
Look, I do not
have the mental.
Okay, the way I'm going to phrase this is going to be extremely controversial, you know, this might start some arguments, but look, I do not believe on average women have the mental capacity to make logical decisions on politics, especially when there are plenty of examples of women changing their... Hold on, listen. Let me complete my point.
I can expand too later.
Okay. I do not believe that women have the mental capacity to make logical decisions on politics, especially when there are plenty of examples of women changing their political views based on what's trendy or what their partner says. Women are heavily driven by authority when it comes to making decisions, whether that authority is, you know, a cultural authority or more personal authority. It's a very emotional way of making decisions and reminds me of how...
And why aren't we already acting in accord to the way you want us to act? If we're heavily influenced and incapable of... why aren't we already acting in accord to the way that you've determined that we should be acting? If we're heavily influenced by males and our partners and society, then why are we not already acting in accord to the way the society had previously imposed upon us?
Because society...
Have we not demonstrated to the contrary?
It's more culturally... Today, society is more culturally leftist and progressive. Most men
so
are not...
So our partners are on board with us, you know, making decisions and stuff. And thus, we...
I could possibly expand on that point?
Please do, yes.
Okay, so, I mean, I agree with what he was trying to get at, right? Basically, okay. The point that he was trying to describe, the point that he was getting at was the fact that women, by natural biological wiring, you know, the way their minds work is that they're more prone to empathetic decisions, right? To being more empathetic, more emotional.
Please explain to me how the neurology works. What component
I mean, I have a degree in neuroscience, not that it matters, anyway. I'm not going to be like, you know, like tooting my own horn here. But anyway.
Then it shouldn't be difficult to explain it.
Well, I mean, I'll just summarize briefly. Women are basically wired to be much more empathetic, much more emotional approach to decision making to everyday life. And this helps them to be the caring figures in the family, right? And this is how humans basically evolved, that the women are the carers and the men are the fighters and the decision makers, right? As a decision maker, to ensure your survival, you have to be logical, you have to be rational. What is going to ensure the survival of my family? So as the fighter figure in the family, this has worked, you know, since the dawn of human evolution. Men had to be very precisely logical, rational, and practical in the decisions that they make, right? Women didn't need to make these decisions. And as a result of this, you know, women, like I just said, they evolved to be much more emotional, empathetic, to figure out how to best take care of the needs of the man and of the children. And that's why women's basic biology is more inclined to emotional thinking as opposed to rational and logical thinking. And this is why, on average, studies will confirm this. We can provide you with the studies if you want. Women are less able to or less willing to engage with rational and logical decision-making processes, so much as they are willing to take the emotional decision or the one that feels right. And so what Brendio, the point that he was trying to get at, is that in political situations, women, he was also including that point, that women are swayed by authority, right? Women are going to be making decisions based on what feels good. For example, just throwing it out there, helping the children in Africa, starving kids in Africa, right? That feels like a very noble thing, feels like women will react emotionally to that and think, I need to save the children in Africa, whatever. And it just feels like something you need to do because inside makes you feel moral and it makes you feel like you're doing a good thing. This is the kind of like emotional thinking that women will go through. Yeah. And this applies to decisions in everyday life and in politics. While men will think, okay, what are the costs of helping children in Africa? How am I going to accommodate this? You know, the prime minister of my country, for example, how am I going to accommodate this into the national budget? Men are going to be thinking about the budget. Women are going to be thinking about how you know, I want to help these people. And that is what Brendio was getting at, is that in political situations, women are not going to think about the costs of what they're doing. They're not going to be thinking about the consequences, and they're not going to be thinking about things long-term. And this is just, obviously, on average, right? Because you do get women with IQs of 180, supremely logical, very intelligent women. For example, Judith Polgar, but she's like the three Polgar sisters. They're international chess grandmasters, 180 IQs, very precise, rational, and intelligent women. You do get exceptions. However, the overwhelming majority of women, on average, like I said, in the political situations, will think about what feels like the right thing to do. they are not going to think about the cost and the consequences of these decisions, which men are so much more willing subjugated. To think about.
Okay.
Makes sense?
So,
well, I actually have a lot more to
you articulated that. Give me a moment, please.
Can you understand that, Shannon?
Give me a moment, please. Yes. He articulated his thoughts very well, and I comprehended them.
Thank you.
I can understand that.
Okay. So, Brendio said you would like to add. Yeah.
I've been patient for a moment. So, I would like to add something. So,
sure.
It seems as though the assertions being made here, and I understand, you know, you're a neuroscientist. So I'm certain you're coming at this from a very logical, and a man, obviously. So you're coming at this from a very logical standpoint, as opposed to, you know, me, I guess, unless I'm one of those outliers, I suppose. That's overwhelmed by my emotions and makes those types of decisions. I like to think that I'm not, which is why I'm carrying on in this conversation. So, what I'm getting at here is that it seems as though a case is being made that women in general, en masse, have taken advantage of a time in our society where we are able to be more sexually selective and are no longer subjugated or be essentially kind of forced to remain in relationships where we are not personally satisfied. And as a result, there are men who don't have sexual gratification because we have the freedom to make our own choices. So the proposition being made, if I'm not misunderstanding, is that this is a position in society that we are undeserving of. And that because we have this position in society, let me finish, please. We aren't capable of operating in society in the fashion that we are now without there being issues that affect men based on us being able to have free choice. And potentially we aren't, you know, deserving of these, especially since, you know, we don't have brains that operate in the same fashion, although I'm still not entirely clear, aside from the fact that I would agree that they're because through evolutionary time that we have evolved as caretakers for children and thus maybe imbued with a bit more empathy, but that's not unilaterally a female-centric trait. Everybody has, well, not everybody, but most people have empathy. But because of that, there are people that are suffering because we are not choosing them as mates, and thus we should be forced back into a position where we can be subjugated again in order to make everything more balanced because it was better that way.
Look, these are some pretty strong words, subjugation. And also, I'm not saying that women did not enjoy their time in a traditionalist society. They were happier back then than they were now. I can guarantee that. Now, there were some things that I would like to address, though. And
yes, please.
Look, I can address a lot of the neurological things as well. The average human male brain has 23 billion neocortical neurons, while the female brains have about 17% less, which is roughly 19 billion. This matters because these neurons are what is involved in higher functions such as sensory perception, generation of motor commands, spatial reasoning, conscious thought, and language. The African elephant has about 11 billion, and the average chimp has around 5 to 6 billion. Don't take my word for it. Look into this. Sex and age are the main determinants of the total number of neurons in the human neocortex. Children, on average, have a lot less than an adult, and it's why you have a fine memory. If you have a fine memory or recollection of your childhood, you may have noticed a sort of blockage or lack of full potential in your perception compared to now as an adult. Now, it's not just less neurons. The influence of estrogen on decision-making is very important as well. And before I even go into how estrogen can affect women, let's take a look at transsexuals who take estrogen on or other hormone replacement therapy. They often feel the natural urge to get pregnant, something a biological male normally would never feel. This in and of itself proves that certain chemicals can affect your wants and desires as well as the way you make decisions. decisions. Women have a much higher estrogen, average estrogen level, and this combined with less neocortical neurons is not a very good admixture for making logical decisions. There is more I could get into on the biological front. Maybe we could discuss this in another conversation. But when I say something like this, people immediately jump at me and call me a sexist or say this is why I'm incel. But no, I
can't imagine why.
Because, look, I think the same thing about children. Like, do you think children would be better off if they were given less restraints, the right to vote, full sexual liberation, full access to the job market, affirmative action, etc.?
No, of course not. Women in the world to children.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you look at what I just said, look, this is why I believe that a traditionalist patriarchy, not an abusive patriarchy, not a patriarchy where women have no role or purpose, where women suffer. On the contrary, I want a patriarchy that allows women to fulfill their purpose and their role as a woman to live happily as they did in the past.
What is our purpose? Please enlighten me. What exactly would my purpose be in this patriarchal idealist society where I still have things to do?
Well,
what is my purpose?
To raise a family, to be in the social sphere.
What if
that's
not a choice?
Stabilize society. Huh?
What if I don't wish to raise a family? Or what if I select a mate who ultimately, after, you know, a little bit of time us being together, I decide that we are incompatible and I'm incredibly unhappy and I no longer want to remain in that relationship? What happens then?
I would say that those decisions and those outcomes are something that have occurred because of Marxism influencing those decisions, because of the sexual liberation and feminism and various other things that have destroyed.
Individuals who, although you may think we are not capable of logical thought on a level of our male counterparts, are capable of it. We are not solely the subject of external influences making our decisions for us. We are capable of incorporating the perceptual data that we take in from the world and form and cognition with, you know, less neurons though we may have. We are capable of thought.
May I interject by chance? Me and Brendio, or Brendio and I, we are not saying that women are not capable of logical, rational decision making. The point we are trying to drive home is that women simply have a much higher inclination towards emotional decision making. An inclination. This does not mean that women are incapable of logical thought. And if prompted or if encouraged, women are just as capable as men of engaging in logical, rational thought. Sorry?
If prompted and encouraged.
Yes. But the key word I would like you is inclination, right? The inclination will always be, generally be, right? Towards an emotional decision or a decision that a woman may feel the better decision, right? So women simply, on average, are less inclined to stop and think about, like I was saying previously, costs and consequences. Inclination is the key word to take away from this. This does not mean women are not capable of thinking about cost and consequence. It's just they are less inclined to do so.
So you think that we make more emotional, impulsive decisions. So I'm not, I feel like we're moving away from the relevance here. Is this all justification as to why we should be forced into one-to-one partnerships?
No. I would like to.
I'm just clearly not understanding the answer. I feel as though it's being obfuscated. It's being justified a great deal. Justified a great deal by explaining exactly why it is that women are less capable, intelligent, and autonomous overall than men are. But everybody seems to be skirting around what the solution is. Are you saying that this, you say, you know, more patriarchal society, more traditional society, nobody's really given me any hard terms on what that
I haven't
means. I've been compared to a child. I've been so you well, indulge me. Okay. I mean, well I'm above average then, I guess. Go me.
I still haven't offered my input on the topic of a solution, right?
yes, so, please do. Yes.
Oh, right. So, I mean, Brendio suggested returning to the conservative patriarchal society of the past. That is a model that has worked. Clearly, it has worked because we are where we are today with incredible technology and incredible social evolution from when we started as cave people, right? So we know that the model of the past, traditional conservatism, where men go out and do the provision role for the family and women do the caring role for the family, right? That has worked in the past. However, we are at a stage in society which is constantly evolving, with social culture evolving, political culture evolving, where I personally, this is where I differ from Brendio, I do not believe it is feasible for us to return to the patriarchal model of the past. I just don't think it can happen because we are at a stage in society where we need to find new solutions to new problems that are cropping up. Because with our new social dynamics between men and women and the rise of inceldom, obviously, these social problems are cropping up with men getting less sexual responses from women, less sexual availability from women. These are problems of the modern day, right? So we need to find new solutions. I am not sure about what solutions are probably the most optimal ones to go for, but I know that it is probably not feasible to go into the traditionalist past. What we need to be looking for is solutions to the present that are more suited to our current social dynamic situation, right? I don't know the solutions. I'm still thinking about them, but I would just like to make the point that I do not agree with Brendio because I just do not believe it is feasible to expect the whole Western world to fall back to that kind of model. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Me and King, we don't agree on everything. That's just to be clear. We agree on the problem. We agree on the data. We agree on the statistical facts, but we don't agree on the solution. Now, I'm a traditionalist. I believe in a patriarchy. I believe that we should have a patriarchy. I don't believe we live in a patriarchy, but I believe we should. And I believe that, as things get worse, men are going to want to go back to patriarchy. But that's just my view on things. And, if you guys want to elaborate, Shannon, I know you had more to say and you can say whatever you need to say.
No, I'll just quickly.
I'm trying to be respectful of your time. To say what you need to say as well.
I'll just, another 10-second thing. I'd like to add that I do support the old patriarchal model of the past because it has worked very well. But if we were to go back to the patriarchal model of the past, we would need to adapt it to the present. I do agree with Brendio that it is a very good solution. However, I just don't think it's feasible without some modern adaptations. So that's just the difference, yeah? That I think there need to be modern adaptations to old traditional conservatism to address 2019 social issues.
And when you say solution, it's the solution to what problem? The problem of a subset of men not finding sexual partners, or a solution to women existing in a different way in society, or both?
This isn't just a solution for incels. This is a solution for everyone who's suffering in the relationship part, in the satisfactory and happiness in the job market.
Everyone?
This is a solution for everything, really. But
are we not included in the everyone?
Women would be happier in this society too. Yeah,
would we?
It is important.
Yeah, you
it
would.
Is important to take
we
note.
We weren't.
You were.
We weren't.
You were.
We weren't. No, we
you
weren't.
Were though. Yeah.
No.
The audio just cut
we
out.
Weren't.
I think I'm missing some pieces.
Yeah, you were.
No.
The last.
We were.
I just missed the last 10 seconds of audio.
What are we arguing about?
Yeah, it was mostly just you were, you weren't, you were, you weren't. You there. You caught up now.
Oh.
That was
okay.
That was what that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you can understand. Give me a moment, please. Just please. Give me just a second. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So you can understand why, for me, as a woman in this conversation, hearing these things is a tad bit upsetting and disconcerting, because essentially what I've heard, unless I'm mishearing you, is that if we would consider me amongst the average woman, which I would say I am by definition likely less intelligent, less logical, less capable of making decisions, more promiscuous, more likely to be somebody who selects a partner based primarily on looks and social status. I am also somebody who should be, in order to make corrective measures so that society can be balanced out in the way that it should be, somebody that should be in a relationship with somebody that I may or may not want to be with, where I'm not able to change my mind. I should not be working. I should be raising children. I should probably be having more children, and I should just be fucking happy about it.
No, you are drawing the wrong conclusions.
What conclusions should I be drawing? What am I misunderstanding?
I mean, for example, one of the things you said is that I, as an average woman, I would be considered less intelligent, less rational. Man, we didn't say you're less intelligent or less rational. We simply said that average woman has, you know, X and average. You are perfectly capable of making rational, logical, intelligent decisions. You are perfectly capable of doing all those things that you said that you can't. We are not saying that you would not be able to.
Oh, I didn't say I couldn't. I said less capable than men, than the average man.
Yeah, yes, but that's basically...
Yes, saying yes, that, you know, yes. That's labeled. So you're agreeing with what I said. As the average woman... No, I'm comparatively to the average man. So, okay, so what did I say that differs from the messages that I just received from both of you in regards to how the average woman is and what the solution for us being more sexually selective should be?
King, you don't have to beat around the bush. You could just say what... I've been saying what we've been saying the whole time. I think the problem is King is beating around the bush when Shannon confronts King, and that's causing problems. I think you need to be, you know, more assertive on your points, King, you know?
Okay, well, feel free to...
So would you agree with what I just said then, Rodeo?
Sorry,
did what? Did I just make an accurate summarization?
About what perception I want for women of the app.
Your perception of the average woman and what my role would be in your ideal version of a society.
Well, other than the parts about them being unhappy or being like forced to
find a negative will way, be happy.
Other than that part, I probably would agree. I would assume that
okay, we're clear.
I want to be happy. Yeah.
We're clear. So. We're clear. You would want me to be happy. You would want that for me. But that would not
No, that would Make be me. A lot more likely to happen in happy. This society.
It I would be it happy. Would, actually.
Yes. You would be happier in a traditional society where you were at home. Oh, statistically speaking, on average, you would be happier at home, raising a family, being, showing a maternal role in the household and in society and in culture. And, you know, whether that might apply to some job aspects where that is necessary to be applied as well. But, yeah.
Okay, I'd like to, Kyle. I'd like to just take a second to point out just something that I noticed as someone that's just watching as things are going on. I'm a man, and I get, well, I don't mean to, you know, to brag or whatever, but I don't have an issue with getting laid, and I don't think like this. Do you think there's a correlation between people who don't think this way about women and are getting laid and those that do think this way about women and aren't getting laid?
Well, Kyle, you're a gay man, and gay men are a lot more likely to find partners than straight men.
But I was straight at one. Well, I pretended to be straight at one period of in my life, and didn't have any issues then either.
How old are you, Kyle? Can I ask?
Oh man, this is going into a dark place. I'm 32.
I think it's important. I think it's very important to talk about the fact that it, if you have not experienced a particular problem in your life, you are going to be blissfully ignorant to the consequences of having that problem, right? You do not appreciate something until it's taken away from you. So you do make a good point that men who have no trouble getting laid are not going to think about the consequences of what it means for a society where a lot of the men are not getting laid, right? So that's just something very important to take note of, that you will be ignorant to the consequences of a problem if you have not experienced it yourself. Just to address your question there, Kyle.
Do you think that the way that you think about women helps or hurts your cause in trying to establish any type of meaningful relationship?
See, that's very difficult, right? Because being upfront about these kinds of things, like Brenda was saying that I need to stop beating around the bush. I'm trying to find like a acceptable way of approaching this, because being upfront about it, like Brenda was, like he said, you know, that women have less cortical neurons, that they are less capable of logical reasoning. You know, if you confront a woman with these things, then obviously the woman is going to be very uncomfortable. It's like, it's not an intelligent thing to bring up in conversation with a woman or with
a man.
Well,
I'm not bringing up these things in like the public sphere. I speak like a normie in real life, but it's a very private thing, you know. I mean, or it's, you know, private, relatively speaking. But yeah,
actually, yeah, it couldn't be more in the public sphere if you try.
Well, yeah, but guys, nobody's gonna know who I am on here.
These,
you know what I mean?
Guys, these are uncomfortable facts. What Brendia has said, these are facts, right? But they're very uncomfortable. However, they have far-reaching consequences, right? As we were discussing before, in the political sphere, women are less likely to think about costs and consequences. This extends to every single part of modern society, right? So the facts.
I don't think facts mean what you think facts mean, man. I don't, and it's just awkward and painful to sort of sit and listen to.
It's awkward, painful, and confidential.
It's opinion. It's the way that you feel society should be, but it's not the way that society is.
No. Clear. I mean, what we have been discussing are models of the past which have worked, right? Have clearly worked to bring society
for
to
whom?
Where it is today.
Hold on. Why is it not working now? Is it because you're not on the receiving end of getting laid that now all of a sudden it's not working? Who is it not working now?
Well, look at the divorce rates. It's not just working not for incels. It's not working for anybody. People are getting divorced at a rate that has never been seen. People aren't in stable relationships like they were in the past.
You know why that is? Because religion is on the decline. Like, people aren't having to stay in relationships out of some need to please some deity that doesn't exist. People stayed in relationships and they tried to make it work because it's a sin, or it displeases God to break off from these things. Now that is being removed, people are saying, you know what? I only get one life, and I'm going to make damn sure that I'm happy, and I'm not going to waste one more day in a loveless relationship that's going nowhere.
Yes, but the thing is that studies have shown people are getting more and more unhappy in modern society. Women especially are getting extremely depressed, extremely suicidal, as Brenda was saying previously, because traditionalist, conservative, Christian models of in social dynamics, women were much happier in that time, women and men. You are getting increasing rates of suicide, depression, prescription of antidepressants in the modern day. Yes, you know, you are not constricted to be in a relationship that you do not want to be in. However, take a look at the statistics. The statistics show that in the past, people were far, far happier with the way society worked. Men and women were a lot more fulfilled in their daily lives. And they felt like life was worth it. And they felt enriched and happy in their relationships at far greater rates than they do today. Today, yes, there is liberation. Yes, there is a lot of freedom. However, you just need to take a look at the facts. Who is happier, people of the past or people of the present? And every single study you look at is going to tell you that people of the past were far happier with the way society worked.
Let me ask you a question about the people of the past that voted in these surveys that were going around about their happiness. Were African Americans allowed to take part in these surveys? Were women allowed to really say how they felt in these surveys way back in the day? Or was it the men who was answering the questions? Because then African Americans couldn't vote on anything and up until Recently, women either. So
these were enslaved back in
the
that day.
Answers back then were probably given by white men who were indeed happy because they controlled everything.
Why did a majority of women in the past not want women to get the vote?
Why did the majority of women in the past not want women to get the vote?
Yeah. Yes.
If the majority didn't want, the majority wouldn't have gotten to, they wouldn't have fought for the opportunity to vote. What does that mean?
Oh my gracious.
Because in the past, if you wanted to enlist, then you also had to had to take on the responsibilities of voting, which included
you didn't want responsibilities.
Enlisted into military service.
So we didn't want to vote because we didn't want to be enlisted into military service. Now, I would say that it probably wasn't necessarily that. I haven't looked at the statistics. I'm inclined to look into them later. I have a lot to look into later because there's been a lot of assertions about the facts. And if you look at the data and if you look at the statistics, but none have been presented. They're just assertions. But if I was to propose a hypothesis, it could be that a certain percentage of them didn't want to be enlisted into military service or perhaps didn't want responsibility. But it could also be that women had been, and I know you don't like this word, but subjugated for such a long period of time that they had started to believe the crap that people told them about what their roles should be in society. And change is a fearful thing for a lot of people, and maybe they feared the change. That's a possibility as well. There's a myriad of possibilities that fall outside of your assertions. Your assertions prove your point, so I get why you like them.
Okay.
But correlation is not causation.
Okay, sure. Allow me to present an alternative perspective, right? Okay, so obviously we have very different social dynamics at present. As compared to what we had in the past. You make valid points that blacks were not allowed to vote, women were not allowed to vote. In the past, white men, yes, they were in control of everything. Okay, let's look at it from a different perspective. 2019, the rates of inceldom are in men are choosing higher quality men. Lower quality men are not being able to, I mean, they're not able to find women to get in relationships with. They are not getting validation from women. And they are not getting any kind of attention from women. Now, if
they are
you
not
grow
rooted.
Up as a young kid, wait, allow me to continue. If you grow up as a young kid, if you are not getting attention from women, what are you going to think about yourself? You're going to think that I'm not worthy of the attention of a woman. You grow up in high school, you're not going to be able to get laid. You're going to think I am not desirable. I'm not attractive. This impacts the psychology of these men. Women are choosing high quality men, and the lower quality men are growing up at high school and university, thinking less and less of themselves. They're thinking, I'm not desirable, I am not attractive, and I am not worth something, right? This impacts the collective psychology of the male population. Right, so we are in 2019, the number of insults is going up and is going to continue to go up, right? Women?
Listen, you are in control of how you feel about yourself. It is not their job to dictate how you feel about yourself. You are not owed attention from women. You are not owed adoration from women. You are not owed
Of course.
You have to earn
Of course. I mean, allow me to just finish my point, right? So if we just take a look at what is happening, increasing number of insults, men feeling shit about themselves, not being willing to engage with society and engage with women. This number of men is increasing. So what can we do about this? You know, the alternative perspective, let's not look at the past, look at the present. Men are feeling disenfranchised and unwilling to participate in society, and increasing numbers of men are withdrawing into porn and computer games and isolation from modern society. This number of men is increasing. So what can we do about this? What do you think, Shannon?
I'll tell you
what
would
be a solution?
Let me give you what I think you should do, and then Shannon can go. What I think you should do is get off of your ass and stop bitching about it in a forum and go out and meet people out in the real world. Do the things that you need to do. You're both funny. I mean, at the beginning of the show, you were cracking jokes. You have a personality. So you can get out there and you can find somebody. But what you're choosing to do is to spend every single day in a on a website complaining about it rather than getting out there and actually doing what you need to do it.
I mean, it's an assumption, isn't it? I mean, everyone says that, oh, we're all just on the forum rotting away complaining about women all day. But I've been out there. I've gone to various different venues and conventions and social gatherings. I've asked women out. I've been rejected hundreds of times. I don't talk about these political things. I don't talk about the patriarchy and how they should, you know, be in the kitchen or something retarded like that. I speak like a normal human being. I speak like a civilized human being. I crack jokes. They laugh, whatever. But because of where I live, because, you know, I talk about location cell. I'm not, I have had, you know, better experiences with women in other areas. Not every incel is just rotting on the forum or online complaining about women. Plenty of them are going out there and they're getting rejected tens, if not hundreds of times. And that's causing a big, problem in their mind where they feel awful. And the thing is, this is what King Gigacell is saying is, there are more men than ever before. You know, forget the inceldom thing. There are more men than ever before who are depressed, especially young men anyway. Like, obviously, older men, like Christy Winter said something about how, you know, the older you get, the more likely you're going to be getting married, which is true. I could get into that in high detail if you want as well. But it's we aren't just all rotting away complaining about women. We're improving ourselves and we're actively trying to seek out a partner. This is what Sarge was talking about. You're not an incel unless you are being rejected, unless you aren't actively seeking out women and, you know, putting an effort into doing the best you can to get a woman. So we're not just rotting. Yes.
We're not just rotting away on the internet. I'd like to elaborate. We are normal people. We go out, we do things, we live our lives normally. We are taxpayers and we contribute to society, right? A lot of us, in fact, most of us would go out and engage in social situations. Our forum exists simply to point out the facts surrounding the importance of looks and how it has affected our lives and how we are not able to engage romantically with women because we are rejected. No matter how we approach a woman, be it open, warm, caring personality or a badass, you know, bad boy personality, we are normal people living normal lives. However, our forum exists for us to speak the facts on how our experiences and our collective experiences as less attractive men points towards the reality that men and women, but overwhelmingly more so men who are not as attractive as women would like them to be, will experience far less romantic and sexual success in society, right? And this has a collective, massive impact on the psychology of these men and their willingness to engage with society. We are normal people living normal lives. We are just pointing out a growing problem, and that is incel and its impacts on the collective psychology of men in society. We are just pointing out the facts here. We do not spend all of our days, all of our nights complaining.
As the female on the panel, can you sort of give them your take on it? Because it, to me, I guarantee you that your view on women's place in society is infinitely more times more unattractive than what you perceive yourself looks wise to be. Shannon?
Hi. Okay. So initially, King, you had asked me a question. What would you have us do? So certainly, I wouldn't have you attempt to implement patriarchy. I would prefer that some of the things that I've witnessed on the forums didn't take place because I think they're unhealthy, specifically as you referenced people, men who are going through this psychological trauma. And it's affecting their mentality if they're in an environment where that mentality is being constantly exacerbated by interactions with people who are reinforcing negative self-perceptions. I don't think that's good. So it would be preferential to me that they didn't go into that forum if that mental space is somewhere where you're arguing they're at because it doesn't seem healthy. But what I would suggest is I heard a couple of keywords when you were articulating your point, which I appreciate you doing. One of the key phrases, I should say, that I heard was it doesn't matter how we approach them, if we approach them as a badass or if we approach them as a nice guy or whatever the other situation that you proposed was. The suggestion that I would have, and I tried to propose it to Catfish Man as well, is that you look to form a social bond with somebody without the expectation of sexual partnership. Work on developing interactions with your own personality, though it may be uncomfortable, utilizing your own personality, not going by some sort of tactical approach, which is what I heard. And that may be unfair. That may be not something that you always do. And if it is unfair and that's just something that I was pulling out, I apologize, but I think it's generally good overall advice. But back to the overall point or the overreaching point that I was making is I would suggest that attempt to form friendships with women. If for no other reason, without expectation, if for no other reason, then it will give you practice on how to interact better with women in a more intimate perspective on how we think and what we do actually want. Because I haven't heard a lot of what we do actually want here. Just a lot of assertions about what the statistics show that we want. But nothing has resonated with me as being existent within my reality. And you've spoken about your reality and how it is relevant and how it has an effect and an impact on an entire group of people. Now, if you implement what was suggested, not by you, King, but if you implement what was suggested, that's going to have an effect and an impact on an entire group of people. That's going to have social consequences as well. It seems as though you want to shift the pendulum in the opposite direction. So my suggestion would be, as I said, work on building interactions and friendships with women without the expectation of sex. And that will help you, if nothing else, broaden your social circle and hone your interaction skills.
What if I told you that you are making an unfair assumption here? You are making the assumption that most incels approach women with the expectation of somehow, by some interaction, forming a sexual relationship. Most of us do not have this expectation. Brendio sounds like he's similar to me in terms of personality. I know from my experiences and most incels on the forum. The way we speak on the forum now is because from our lived experiences, we do not expect sex from women. We simply acknowledge the fact there is never any sexual interest. But it's an unfair assumption to state that we expect sex, because we do not. We expect nothing. Nobody on the planet is owed anything. We women do not owe us sex. We acknowledge.
So when you, however, perhaps I could articulate myself a little bit better, because I feel like I didn't articulate well, and what you are saying is fair. What I'm trying to articulate is that engage with women for no reason other than to engage.
For sure.
That's essentially what I'm trying to say.
I can tell you now.
Without hoping that maybe one day down the line, you know.
Okay. I can tell you now, most members on the incel forum do make an effort to go out, socialize, and interact with women with no expectation of sex, because we realize that we are going to be interacting with women for our whole lives. So we might as well develop the social skills to interact with women in a civilized manner, whatever. We do not have the expectation of sex. However, we are simply making the point that no matter how much we go out and establish healthy, normal relationships with women and men, we are simply not being able to find romantic success with women. You are right. It is a very good mechanism to make sure you force yourself to go outside, interact with women, to develop social skills and bonding with women, be it simply for the fact that you want to establish friendships with women to understand the psychology a bit better, right? This is a very good thing that most incels should be doing. However, at the end of the day, or at the end of the week, or at the end of the year, you may have 10, 20, or 30 female friends, but you still would have not been expressed romantic interest from them, right? So despite the fact you may know very well how to interact with women, you may have a lot of female friends. So and you may be very well liked amongst your female part of the social circle. Despite all of these facts, at the end of the day, you will still not be sexually desired by women. You will still be alone at the end of the day. Women will go home.
You speak in such a definitive manner.
Allow me to just quickly finish the point. At the end of the day, despite the fact that we make our best effort with coping mechanisms, we will still be alone. Now, some incels are very good at dealing with this loneliness and this isolation, while other incels will struggle. In fact, most incels will struggle because you can be a perfectly normal, civilized person like me. I'm a civilized person. I have a lot of female friends with women, and I'm very respectful towards women. However, I am unable to form any sort of attraction. That is the key point here. At the end of the day, forming attraction for a meaningful relationship is something which is beyond the reach of incels. And that is the problem.
This, yeah, you're speaking so definitively. When you say beyond the reach, you're using very definitive language that makes it seem as though just because it hasn't yet been accomplished for you or come to fruition for you, that means that it is something that just will not and cannot ever happen. And it just seems defeatist.
Yes, you can. We're going to start coming to a closing point here soon. So just keep that in mind. I've got one thing that I want to say, and then we'll close up. But go ahead, Rindia.
Right. Are you guys familiar with any, I'm sure you're not, but are you familiar with any location cell experiments? I'm assuming you're not. Okay. I'll elaborate. So a location cell is someone who, they proclaim that they are an incel because of where they live and their local sexual market and hypergamy in their area and things of that nature. Now there have been some experiments and things that were done where, for example, someone who lives in LA, they cannot find a partner there. They're saying, you know, I live in LA as well. And they cannot find a partner. They're experiencing all the typical problems of inceldom. They're on the forum, blah, blah, blah. And all they do, they act the same all the time. And they go somewhere else. They go to, for example, a small town in rural America. They go to maybe a more uncommon example would maybe they go outside of the country. They go to Poland, or they go to a rural part of Eastern Europe, or maybe they go to Asia or something like that. But let's say most of them who go to like somewhere in their own country that's more rural and more, I guess, conservative, more not as urban, I suppose. They seem to show more examples of success with a female than they would in where they lived, where they have no success at all. What do you think about this type of situation?
I think that it shows that perhaps there's different social standards geographically from location to location. And I think it also kind of contravenes your point that women are ultimately in general more selective, when essentially what you're saying is that if they have a lower local selection pool, then your looks won't matter as much once you arrive in that location.
Well, the reason why they have a less standards is because they lower standards. Less than where they come from. That is because they are less they're less likely to be promiscuous in this area. They're more likely to be conservative. They're like a lot of these areas where people are going and succeeding are in more conservative areas where, you know, women are they're less shallow about choosing a good partner. They might actually care about personality more than someone in LA.
I live in a rural area. It's so convoluted. This is a lot of information to process. We do have to wrap up because Kyle's got another show. I want to say thank you to both of you. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hold on, Shannon. Before you say bye, because Brenda, I wanted to ask you about, like I said, I learned my lesson with Catfish Man. So I did, Brenda, you sent me some links that in your email that I did check out. I wanted to ask you about one thing that you said, and Dave will bring this up, but your post said this, this is why enforced monogamy is the only situation that a 5 foot manlet actually was a super genius, a bright mind. He wouldn't be able to breed because of hypergamy and women having free reign of choices. His superior cognitive genetics wouldn't be allowed to be passed on because of this joke. That is what is truly despicable. Every man who isn't a complete genetic waste should be able to breed. So you would be okay with forced monogamy. How would that work?
Enforced monogamy, and that is not you get a designated girlfriend or anything like that. More like Jordan Peterson has actually talked about enforced monogamy in a cultural standpoint. Basically, enforced monogamy, you don't have to force people to be monogamous with specific people. You can create a culture or a set of rules in society which will naturally encourage people to be monogamous in stable monogamous relationships and give them incentives. For example, you might give them a tax incentive to be monogamous and faithful and stay in find a partner that they would want to be with forever, and things along those lines. So that's what I mean by enforced monogamy. I hope you don't mean giving someone a girlfriend through the law or anything like that. I don't mean anything like that. Jordan Peterson has talked about this before, as I said.
That's why I asked. Yeah. That's why I asked for the Quid King.
I was just making a joke that put all the women in chains and one by one distribute them. Just joking.
Funny you should say that because King. Okay. I wanted to save you for last because let me just read what this says, and then I believe that it will maybe hearing it from someone else and the reaction that this is going to probably get will give you kind of some insight into why you're having issues getting a relationship. Because this, I think, stems from the heart of the matter. You wrote, and I'm just going to jump down to the second paragraph. Anything that is not represented in the majority and is harmful is a disease that needs to be treated in a hospital or a mental asylum. Keyword is harmful. Faggotry isn't harmful. As long as faggots aren't faggots in public, then they can be good citizens of society, I suppose. Just keep your gay shit in the closet at home. Even though faggotry harms the faggot as it doesn't fit into straight society and culture, therefore change my mind. Faggots are a minority who can be harmful to themselves and to others. I don't know, though. A faggot is a faggot. You can't really treat them that just make sure he stays in the closet and encourage him to do his best society or something. You're not going to stop faggots from suffering. Well, if there's one thing in that, No. You don't get to talk anymore. I've heard enough of your fucking mouth. This was worse than Catfish Man. You came on here wanting to do some sort of olive branch or to paint a different light of incels. But the truth of the matter is that each of you, Catfish Man, Brindio, and you, King Gigacell, you all have this innate darkness within you because life wasn't good to you. You didn't get the things that you wanted out of life. You think life owes you something. Well, let me tell you both this. It doesn't. And Dave, you can go ahead and kick them off because I don't want to hear another fucking thing that they have to say. But life doesn't owe you anything. Women don't owe you anything. And as long as you have mentality like this, where you're able to type this kind of filthy garbage in a forum around other people who feel this way, so you can just feed each other, you're not going to get to the place that you want to get to because you're not willing to change what ultimately needs to be changed. It's not the rest of society. It's you. It's the shit that you think and you believe. That's what needs to change. It's the hate, the misguided hate, the what you feel on the inside you're projecting onto other people. It's pathetic. And quite frankly, I'm tired of hearing you all bitch about it. This could easily be fixed if you would take the time to go and do the things that you need to do to fix it. But instead, you would rather tell faggots to stop being so faggoty and stay in the closet. Well, Let me tell you one thing. Us faggots are out having sex and having the time of our lives. You know why? Because we're not sitting around on forums posting about other people. We're not saying hateful things or diminishing other people's feelings or telling women that they don't have a place in society and that men are superior. Well, that's not the case, as is demonstrated today. Shannon is in a relationship and couldn't be happier. Same goes for me. You want to know the correlation between the two? We don't think less of other people because we're pissed off at the world, because the world didn't give us what we need on a silver platter. Well, let me tell you both something. Grow the fuck up and do what you need to do to be happy, or don't and stay miserable. Either way, the blame rests on you and no one else. Shannon?
Hi. Hi, Kyle. That's hard Hi. To read. Hi, that's hard to read. I'm sorry you found that and had to read that. I know that there's no way that that felt good. So I'm sorry that that happened. But I am. Well, I know you would. I know you've been all over. Yeah, I know. But it doesn't make it. And I've been told a bunch of things about, you know, the average person like me that weren't particularly easy to listen to, even though they were wrapped up in very flowery and articulate language, which is lovely. It's you know, they packaged that misogyny with a very lovely word bow, but it was hard to hear. But I thought that it was important in this dialogue that I be as understanding, patient, and as I possibly could, and give them the opportunity to explain their perspective. I was surprised by how open they were about their opinions on things, but you know, it's in the light of day now. There's some sunshine on it. So I'll leave it to everybody who's watched this conversation to discern for themselves what perspective you feel is better on the world.
And
that was
and for people who ask why me and Shannon do this for this very reason. Because to me, it's important that you get who these people are out there. Because each time I've been contacted by someone from that community saying they don't represent the last person you had on doesn't represent us as a community. But every single time you can find clear evidence that they all think the same way, that they all feel the same way, that it's not their fault, it's women's fault, it's gays, whoever, it's somebody else's fault. And I was going to be damned if someone was going to come on here and try to speak in a manner to distinguish themselves from Catfish Man when they're all the same. These posts, all the same. So it's important to point these things out so that you guys know if you have an interaction with an incel and they try to, you know, spin a narrative that that they really not all of them think this way. They do. Me and Shannon have been on the forum and read the posts. It's atrocious what's on that forum. I cannot recommend you guys not going there any stronger. Just save yourself the mental anguish. And you know what I did, Shannon? I just typed their names into Google. And these are the posts, the first post that came up. Oops. So I want to thank Shannon for going on this journey with me. I certainly had it an interesting time. I think you got to where you were missing Catfish Man a little bit there. Towards the end of that.
Yeah, it seemed to be, you know, it's a broad, he was more assertive and less articulate. So that was difficult because I couldn't, what I really wanted to do was get to these underlying points as well. The questions that are skirted around, which is okay, What's the solution to your proposed problem? You've given me all kinds of reasons why it's a problem, and it's, you know, the fault of people like me for, you know, being able to make decisions for ourselves and exist in society and whatever instantiation we desire. And that's a detriment to you. Sure, let's grant that. What's next? What is the point of all of this? What's next? What does that lead to logically? And I think people heard.
Yep.
That's what was important to me this evening, is following this to its logical conclusion when you think that in this fashion.
I completely agree. I'm gonna try to get through. We have another show at. What time is it now?
10 minutes.
Okay, I'm gonna get through the first half of these super chats. First of all, I really appreciate them. I'll do the other half once we get everything set up for the other one. But just a reminder, we are going to be having discussion on polytheism with a modern day debates, Mike Winger, Ocean, and Sirs the Skeptic immediately following this. So let me get through a couple of these real quick, and then we will set up for that. Biblical History Skeptic says, I think I just puked up my liver through my kidneys and out of my canthus.
I don't know.
This is literally painful. What's a canthus? The Canadian Atheist, stats, please stop spewing things out.
Agreed.
Greg Ryan, given the extremely high aesthetic standards placed on women by society, it is wrong to expect them to have high standards. Is it wrong to expect them to have high standards for men? Why is it unfair for women to have standards? I think that's fair, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I tried to bring that up too when I said, you know, if you're suggesting that men are less discerning, there are billion-dollar industries that are way off the goddamn mark, like the cosmetics industry and the marketing industry for women for aesthetics is bananas. Bananas. Yep. Why does it exist?
Marie Helen Moreau says, as a single woman who has been single for 5 years, I am baffled by this guy's misconceptions about what women and men want. Personally, most humans I know look for similar interests and personalities. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Sapiosexual.
The fuckboy assassin. I love that name, by the way. It says, source anecdotes and OK Cupid. Bravo. NZ, they're obsessed with dating apps, by the way. Have you noticed that? OK Cupid, Tinder.
Yes. Yeah, because that's the source of a lot of the statistics that are skewed.
The research. NZ Pure says, OK, I'm an anthropologist. The selection shit is BS.
Maybe they should stop looking for diamonds in the shit and get out there in the real world and meet women and find quality women to date who actually care about personality and not just looks. What a concept.
Well, they need to fix theirs first, though, because I wouldn't wish that on any woman anywhere now.
I will stipulate that, Kyle. That is a foregone conclusion
What is it? They check yourself before you wreck yourself? I think that's the same, right? Johnny V says, this is the same argument race realists use. No. Jeff C., thank you for two super chats. You didn't put a comment, but on your third one you did. Citations or shut up in all caps. So you definitely made up for your other two. Dust Knight says, women are governed by their feels, in quotation marks. These incels arguments have been supported by nothing more than what they feel is right. Show us data. That's some irony. Lawrence Carrington, our anger at our own inadequacies is causing me to get a group of other guys that feel the same way so we can all complain together to fan the flames until we lash out at women that we could actually have led us to at some point. Well said. Helio575, you're incels because you are terrible people. Unfortunately, I can't argue with that. Jeff C. says, if purpose equals reproducing, incels have no purpose. Lloydy says he loves Shannon Q's laugh.
Oh, thank you.
And I'll do one more before we have to talk about, and then I'll do the rest of the super chats in the next show. 0132132 says, can someone point out to the studies that they derive these facts from? When I try to fact check their claims about as accurate as Flurfer's. No, for the first time ever, I am not going to put this on the flat earth. I could not be more appreciative right now than to come across a flat earther. I actually want to find the first flat earther that I can find and hug them and
just hug them.
Yeah.
I am so
thankful for you flat earthers. You guys go out there and you think that look, NASA lies, I'm all for it now. Whatever it takes to keep you.
Do you, boo? I miss you.
This has been the one normal thing that I have in my life.
That's fair, poor Kyle.
All right. We're going to
a year ago did you ever in the world think a year ago that you would be saying that flat earthers sounded normal to you?
No, but take the black pill and the earth being flat isn't so bad. All right, that's all I'm going to say. Thank you once again, Shannon. I'm sorry once again, Shannon, but you were you rocked it as always. Please join us here in the next 10 minutes, and we'll be set up for this next show. I want to end this episode, though, on a quote from probably one of the most inspirational people of this past century. And I think that he really sums it up just beautifully. And if we would all kind of emulate this, not only would the world be a better place, but you would see these issues that you see with yourself just vanish. And he said, this is from Martin Luther King Jr., darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And I love you all for having to endure this. We'll see you in a couple minutes.
I'll be watching.
Non sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.